Hi, welcome to the Meal Deals Podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Pham, with
Eric Wing
and Rafael Perez.
And today we're going to be talking about family, parents, and parenting, and all that kind of good stuff.
About your fam.
About your fam.
before we dive deep into this episode's topic, Victoria and Rafael just started their first week in school, coming back for winter break. How was your first week in school, guys?
You start. I've been feeling pretty good about classes, actually. I think that with the new year, I've been trying to push myself harder with just more STEM-based classes. So I'm taking bio, nutrition, statistics, macroeconomics. So I'm like kind of spread pretty thin, especially since I'm also working two jobs at the same time as well. You know, just trying to balance everything all at once. I know that I've been pretty absent on the podcast. It's just because I've been going through a lot of stuff personally. But yeah, I think that the new year's going to go pretty well. And I'm pretty excited. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you said that. because I did miss you last podcast, though. I'm pretty sure Eric also missed you, too. You know, we both missed you.
They're saying that just to
we hate her. Never mind. But for me, it just like I can't wait for this semester. You know, even though it was like the first week was well too for CCP, because last semester it was a little off, you know, here and there. But and I didn't feel like I had a challenge last semester. But this semester I feel like, you know, I'll get some work done, and I don't know. I don't know how to express it, but like, it's something that like I think it will be much better.
Yeah, I feel the same way about last semester as well. Like, there wasn't much of a challenge, so I didn't put as much effort in.
Right.
But now it's like I'm exploring different subjects that would be interesting to me, as opposed to just learning my major, which is pretty fun. I mean, like, I love my major and I love taking those classes, but at the same time it's pretty familiar to me.
Yeah.
So being able to explore new territories and figure out what I really do, like, that's really fun.
Yeah. Do you did you also have a feeling where like it's just now to the point where like, okay, now I need to get on my shit instead of like last time? Or like not like get on your shit, but like more of like, okay, I need to take this more serious than last time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that too.
Yeah, because the thing is that since my major is in computer science, I also have other classes that like as such as sociology and English 102, which is like basically research paper. And like I think that's gonna definitely like stack up my time, and I'm pretty sure I have a feeling that I'm gonna have to spend more time in that than just other things I do at home.
Yeah. But we'll always have time for you.
Yes,
of course.
Our audience.
This podcast we do this every week, and we're committed to this, and we love doing this. We love doing it because we hear responses from you guys, and you guys are so supportive that it doesn't feel like a burden to us.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with Victoria and Raph that like we feel more serious when we start this term, because I think it's kind of like to start fresh on a new page again. And that kind of mindset I have is like, oh, this term is new. I'm going to be better than I did last term, and I'm going to improve all my mistakes, or like make less mistakes and improve all my weaknesses or improve my strengths.
And plus like now we finish our first semester / term on college. So we now have a little feeling what college is like and what it's like to even to have more, a little bit more freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, now we have a position to say like, okay, like this is what college is like, you know, because like when we start a podcast, we haven't even started college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like now, now that I think about it, probably we want to listen to ourselves in the very first episode, or second episode, just like, you know, little questioning about what it's like to be college and things like that. You know, times move on too, you know, but again, I think we're now in a position to be like, okay, this is what, you know, what college is like. This is what, so like, there are different many type of professors, type of students, people that you're gonna, a lot of people you're gonna meet things like that, clubs,
mm-hmm.
if that yeah. makes sense.
In our first episodes, we always talked about what college might be like. But now that we experience a little bit of college, we kind of know, we have a better grasp what it is because we're in college now. And yeah, we're looking forward to more experiences in college. But let's dive into this episode's topic, which is family. What does family mean to you guys? Like, that's such a class question. Like, mm-hmm. you put up on the boards, like, what does family to mean to you? But right. it's a serious question because everyone has different interpretations of family. Mm-hmm. Family yeah. can mean blood family, or family can mean, like, friends that you're really close with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Were you going to answer?
No. I was just thinking about family.
Okay. So like at least in my case, it was something for at least family is something that all of us, or at least most of us, got used to. And by that, I mean something that, like, when you first was born and then you grow up, you know, you deal with these, like, small society, which is, of course, like, your family, and you got used to the rules and things like that. And then, at least for me, that vision kind of changed when I first moved here. Because I was originally from Puerto Rico. I moved to Philly when I was 8. And then I started looking at different perspectives, especially the American perspective of what is family like, or how people around act, you know, mm-hmm. like at least like in school or like in the streets and things like that. And while back in Puerto Rico, you know, I mostly stay at home, you know. I have friends here and there, but, like, I mostly stay at home. And, like, my family already got used to me, like, the way I act and things like that. And once I changed that personality based on the sociology of Philly, they kind of were a little bit against it. Not because, like, I was a little rebel. It's, like, more of something that, like, I did something that they kind of don't like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that at first it was like, okay, I'll listen to, you know, might as well not change this way. But in the same time, it was like, there's nothing wrong with that, you know? Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with changing yourself.
I have a question. So what was your perspective on family, like, in Puerto Rico? And, like, give us an example of, like, what was that? And, like, what's now in Philly? Why did people not, like, why did your family not like that?
Oh, that's a great question because, like, the thing is that back in Puerto Rico, I was a very shy person. And when we go, like, to, like, a family reunion parties and things like that, I tend to, like, when I first, like, enter there, I always, like, hide behind my parents. Like, I don't even want to say hi to none of them and things like that. But once I grew up, before I moved here, I got a little bit more lenient on it. You know, I, like, became a little bit open, but still too shy. It was more of, like, since I have no other views except for my family. It's just more of like, we have to stick together, you know, and things like that. And when I came here, it was more of like, everyone was doing their own thing, you know, like no matter what, like your brothers are doing, no matter what your mom or dad was doing, I was doing kind of my own thing. And my parents believed that like, I need some superintendent to like assist me and things like that. So, but like, it's almost like a story of like, or I don't know if the birds actually do this, but like the mother bird had to let the little bird go, you know, fly away, you know, let them do their thing. So yeah, like, it was like something that like I'd be seeing a lot of kids my age or like in my age at the time doing, you know, like they're doing their own thing. And I was like, why can't I do my own thing, you know? So mm-hmm. I would try to like, for example, like go outside until 7 or 8, or like 8 p.m. I wanted to stay outside longer, but like my parents were like really against that because, you know, how like, I mean, I was naive at the time, but, like, it was, like, more of, like, a dangerous time to go outside at night, you know. And I didn't want that, but I still had to, like, follow my family's rules, which is sometimes can be a little bit super protective, but, like, in the other hand, it's, like, it's understandable, if that answered your question.
Yeah, that answered my question. It's interesting to me because I always thought, like, family here in America was more less involved because
more less involved.
Yeah, I should have phrased it in a better way, but like
lack of the better word.
Yeah, lack of a better term is just like our society is just like work, grind, mm-hmm. and it's more or less like, oh, let's have family time together, like dinner, like sure, there are plenty of holidays like where like it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. But besides those special exceptions, the way I think it's like in America, our families are so always busy mm-hmm. that we never really have the time to kind of sit down at the table and have like a family dinner or like what you typically see with a family where like you guys hang out together. Whereas like people outside America, like family in Asia, it's more family oriented. It's like mm-hmm. where you guys have to stick together and like hang out and like care for each other and like get to know your family more rather than you just being a solo person. Right. But I think there's always pros and cons to having a family always being together. Like in my perspective, I kind of see what I agree with Raph is sometimes families can be too overprotective, where I also understand why they could be overprotective, but at the same time, you kind of want, like Raphael's analogy, you want like the mother bird, like as parents, to let go of that little bird so that bird can be independent. Mm-hmm. So
right.
I kind of feel that kind of treatment for my family, my parents, where they don't trust me fully yet because they don't trust me enough to be fully independent. So they're like really trying to be really protective of like what I'm doing or what my ambitions are or like what my aspirations. And like Raphael said, like I also understand their perspective because like we're all like immigrants, we all have immigrant families. So coming from a territory they're familiar with to an unknown place, they're bound to be more protective of mm-hmm. like where their children or their future children will be heading towards, like what their future is. So in their mind, in order to make the best future they can make for their children, they have to supervise them more. They mm-hmm. have to make sure to know where they're going.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like, when you were saying about like headed for their future, that was actually kind of funny, at least at for my part, because the thing is that my parents never really, I'm the middle child, by the way. I'm like, I have like a younger sister and I have like two older brother and an older sister. But like, at least like in my position, they really never, not that I can remember, they never really forced me to go like, to study and things like that. But yeah, for some reason I had like the nerdiest mindset, you know, like I like to read, I like to code, I like to learn to code. I'm not that proficient, but like, you know, to learn new things every day, you know, and like my parents, they're like, they were never really like a scholar. My mom dropped out of school, I think was during high school or probably after high school. And my dad, he got into college, but he dropped out of college, you know, they never really had the mindset of going to school, and they never raised me with that mindset, but I still developed that mindset because like they were like, okay, you, like, cause like they thought it was like more of like a standard, like every children must go to school. And then as I like, you know, I went to school and you know, I somehow wanted to learn more and things like that. I just have like, I'm like a bear, like much of an outlier to my family because before my little sister was born, once I moved here, I grew up with the American mindset, or like, I was Americanized, if that makes sense. You know, like, I don't really follow too much of the tradition of Puerto Rico or of my family. So like, whatever I do is kind of a little bit different from what my family does, or like, not what I do, but what I believe is different from what my family believe. But we don't have too much conflict about that. We were just more of like, most of the time it's just like they don't have problem with me really doing anything. It's just more of like the safety of it. I think that's just like the biggest problem, just like mm-hmm. the safety of going outside or like going out with friends and things like that.
I think that's the most frustrating part about it, because it's like you don't know what the boundary is unless you like test it. You know what I mean? So if you're constantly living in like a safe zone, you're kind of stuck there. Yeah. You don't really know, like, oh yeah, if I can go here, that means that I could possibly go farther.
Yeah.
And I could even reach higher than like this boundary that you are placing on me.
Yeah.
And I think that like, so I grew up in the States, and I'm like a full-fledged American. I lost my Vietnamese accent when I was like 5. I grew up in a very traditional household. My grandfather was a military dad, and my parents weren't really around, so I was raised by my grandmother and my grandfather. And they hated the idea of me becoming like a full-fledged American, because my grandfather, obviously, he fought in the Vietnam War, and there's like a whole history to that, obviously. If you're Vietnamese, or if you even know about the Vietnam War, then that's a whole other story. But like, he really detested the idea of me just being an American, and like losing a side of me that I never really got to fully own. And it was really hard for my family to accept me as like, oh yeah, this is the first kid who's gonna be able to like go to college fully and just live in America and only know an American life. And I can understand why they were really scared. And it's like what you said about those boundaries that they place on you, and you never really understand it.
Yeah.
Because as much as they can tell you the reason, you're just always like, but can't I just try? And that's what I was always like. I was always like, why can't I just do it to see what it's like, rather than you telling me what it is and I just accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a very American mindset.
Yeah, and it's funny because at least I think while during high school, it was like I show like how I test my boundaries in front of my friends, but I don't show how I test my boundaries in front of my family. Mm-hmm. So probably that like my family never seen me try new things. They probably be like, well, I don't think you're capable of those things because I never seen you do those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of my family members thought that like, that, you know, it, like one of them like really want me to get a job because just so I know like how you say it, like how to work with people. But I already know how to work with people. That's the thing. And then I noticed it's just something that I never really proved myself in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I only proved myself in front of teachers, professors, students, classmates, well, same thing, but like in front of anyone except mm-hmm. in front of my family. Because like since I was very Americanized, it was to the point that we lost our way of like me relating too much of what my family does.
Mm-hmm.
And like Eric said, going back to about having the working mindset, my parents have like really strong working mindset. Like all they know is that in order to be successful, you have to work. You know, they don't really focus too much about go to study and things like that. But it's more of like, they just focus too much of like, you know, you gotta work, you know, you gotta work. No matter like you're gonna be miserable, you have no break and things like that. You need to have a job, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm just like, listen, I'm just like gonna focus like to study, you know, mm-hmm. so I can like I don't know. I just like again like since I was very Americanized, like I lost my way of like relating to Puerto Ricans in general too, especially people that live in Puerto Rico. It's just like. You know, my family don't do the same thing or think of the same way that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that it's kind of unfair for them to criticize how we think and vice versa, because that's the only world that they ever knew until coming here like 15 years ago. And like, that's our whole entire life, or basically like half of your life, most of your life. Like, for me, it was my whole entire life that I was an American, and this is all that I know. I don't know anything about Vietnam. I don't know about living there. I don't know about being poor in Vietnam. So it's like, as much in high school, I really wanted them to understand, like, as any, like, 14, 15-year-old, I'm just like, I don't get why you can't understand me. But it's like, after you grow up a little bit and you mature a little bit, then you realize that your parents were also in the same position as you were, or maybe even worse, especially from an immigrant family. And they grew up in conditions that they would never want you to go through.
Yeah.
So they want you to flourish in a better, more sophisticated environment.
Yeah.
And that's why they push to, you know, get an education or to go get a job that you could really excel in.
Yeah.
And I mean, right now I'm working like two customer service jobs. It's completely terrible. I fucking hate it so much. And my parents always told me, like, you don't want to be working like that. You don't want to be working for someone else your whole entire life. You want to do something that is liberating for you because you're the maker of whatever, your own money. And it's not like you're relying on someone to pay you for, because they owe you.
Yeah.
For your service.
Yeah.
So yeah, I definitely agree with you in that point where it's really hard to relate to your family as you grow up, but I think that it's so necessary, especially for immigrant families or immigrant children or just like first generation children.
Yeah.
Because you have to break that boundary in order to expand your generations that follow you.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's all I really have to say.
Yeah, it's just like what's even more frustrating is that my family tend to be conservative, and by that I don't mean like in politics. I mean like in a way of like they don't want to change their way of like they don't want to change their mind or be open minded. So like like me, I'm very open minded. Want to like you know I want to learn what where people come from, things like that. But when I'm trying to like change their mind some certain things, is this something they don't understand? Did they simply not just gonna forget it? They just gonna like be like, oh, like I told them about one thing that I already told them like 2 days ago. And they're like, what? And I'm like, do you remember like what I told you about like a few days ago? They're like, no, I don't remember. Simply because if I tell them something that they don't understand, they just...
Yeah, that might just be them getting older, though.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. It's just something that's been a thing in my family. They just like, I just don't understand.
I think that your memory starts to kind of start to degenerate at like 30.
No.
That's what I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Once you're like 45 or 46, you're known to just be saying what a lot. But that's besides the point.
Well apparently my mom remembers when was the last time I cleaned the dishes, like a few months ago. But okay. You know, like, you just be like, Rafael, you didn't clean your dishes.
Prove this, scientist.
Exactly. But like, yeah, it's just like, okay, yeah. Yeah.
What about you? Yeah.
It's super difficult, like Victoria said, to relate to your parents, especially if you're a first generation child, because you're raised in these two type of like cultures. You're raised in your family's culture of their way of thinking, and then on the other side, when you go to school or you're outside the household, you're raised into this different type of thinking. It's like very conflicting. It's very like colliding where like, well, which, how do I think? Like, am I supposed to follow my parents or am I supposed to follow what everyone else says? And yeah, like it was interesting to me because Raphael's parents, hearing that like Raphael's parents always wanted Raphael to work, my parents said the complete opposite. They never wanted me to work like customer service jobs because they knew like their whole lives they have been working like blue collar jobs. They have been working at like these shitty jobs just to get money on the table, just to get food on the table. And they know they did not want me to suffer through the same pain. And they like went through so many trials and errors because like no one in my family, except only one, has went to college. And through those like personal anecdotes or personal stories, they don't want me to end up in the same place because they know it's hard for them. And if it's hard for them, it's going to be hard for me because, and first, I completely agree with Raphael when they said, like, when Raphael said Raphael's parents work hard, like, every immigrant parent works hard. It's not like they're not dumb. They're just doing what they can do at the moment.
And plus, they have the experience of working, too. Yeah. So like, we can't really, like, be like, oh, you don't know what it feels like to like to our parents. We're like, who the fuck are we to say that?
Yeah.
We're like, just that, you know, I appreciate it, you know, the sacrifices that they made for us. Like, imagine, like, us being parents, you know, we had to, like, you know, like, not to sound like our mother, but, like you know, you got paid the rent, you paid the water bills, electric bills, but then you're going to have to pay the food, you know, the food, that like, the snacks that you eat, you know. Would it really pay by yours? Or, like, by your parent, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's something that, like, I always think about, like, you know, I really appreciate them doing that, you know, but you gotta stop with that overprotecting thing, you know. You just like, you know, I love you, but you know, stop, you know. I don't know, but it's like, I feel that.
Yeah, like growing up, I had this rebel mindset where like, oh, I want to work. I actually want to work as like a busboy, and I want to do this at age 14 and do this, and so I could get like, you know, a couple hundred dollars to spend on myself. And my mom and dad were like, don't do it, please don't do it. Just focus on school. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and that process at the time, I hate it. I scolded them. I was like, why can't I do this? Like, come on. But like growing up at this state now, I at least understand why they didn't want me to put all my time and effort into trying to work at a minimum wage job where I could be pursuing an education that they never had. Because, and it's not to blame for them, but they just want the best for me. And for my parents, they don't want to be, well, my mom specifically, she doesn't want me to be too ambitious because she's afraid that I will be, let down or mm-hmm. be disappointed in myself, where mm-hmm. She's afraid that like once I go through a failure, then I don't have the confidence to like try to get back up and persist through. But I understand at her perspective, and they both have, my mom kind of has like a fixed mindset where she kind of believes that a lot of things come through talent, but I understand that because the circumstances she was raised in kind of made her believe that. Because mm-hmm. she tried to go to school to be a nurse, but then after like the first year or half of the first year, she dropped out because she couldn't handle being a nurse and working full time at a job. So she quit that. So I guess like through that process or experiences, the adversity she faced, she kind of had this mindset, but I don't completely blame her. Mm-hmm. And I think through accomplishing my own goals and my own experiences, it kind of changes her mindset a little bit, where she's like, oh, like maybe you can do this. So I wouldn't say like when your parents don't let you do anything or don't let you do for a specific thing, you don't want to be completely 100% mad at them and be fixed at the idea that they're doing this because they don't like me.
Yeah.
They're doing this for a specific reason. And sometimes you have to kind of be compliant to what they want you to do for just the sake of keeping the family together. And also, I'm speaking on a whim here, but it's, say for example, like your mom and dad wants you to go to college, and you really, there's two ways you can look at this. You really don't want to go to college, and you're mad at your parents because they just want you to go to college. But you have to understand, they're not doing this out of malice. They're afraid of like you. They're afraid of you failing and not having any fall back on.
Yeah, because like they know the alternative route. The alternative route is like they don't go to college, and then you would have to work at a customer service job for most likely the rest of your life. And it's like, I think that another thing is it's like every American dream, especially like the immigrant's American dream. It's like, it's not about me owning the picket fence. It's about my child having the education and the career to have their own picket fence. Like, I don't need that. My child does. And I think that what you were saying earlier about, you know, being compliant and then also like taking that risk, there's like two different paths, right? So Eric, obviously, he didn't take a minimum wage job. He didn't work as the busboy, and he focused a lot on his studies. Me, I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do whatever the hell I want. And I guess that was like the most American thing about me, was I was like, yeah, fuck my parents. I'm gonna just go work in a restaurant. And I made that money and I felt good about it. But after a while, I felt like, yeah, shit, my parents were kind of right. Like, I got a taste of what work is like. And what work is every day you have to put in your hours, you got to clock in, you clock out, and you talk to the same people, and there's not any room for growth unless you want to stay in the same industry forever, you know? And I think that what immigrant parents really want is, like I said earlier, is for their children to be bigger than what their lives were. And their lives were super small. Like my parents, my mom, she wanted to be a pharmacist, right? And she was like, she said, she always tells me this, because I think that in the back of her mind, she remembers when she was a kid and how much she just wanted to work in medicine so much. And she didn't have the money to go to school in Vietnam, because back then it was like you had to, it's not like free education in America. It's like you had to pay out of your own pocket. Yeah. And like I said earlier, being poor in Vietnam, I'll never know that, but she does.
Yeah.
And that kind of experience can't be matched to any experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
So she always reminds me, like, I grew up so poor and I couldn't go to school, and now I'll never be a pharmacist because I'm 48 and I can't go back to school. And the American way is like, of course you can go back to school. You can go back to school at like 75 and it wouldn't even matter. And you hear those success stories about, like, you know,
I've been seeing a lot of, like, elders in, like, in community college, going back to school, trying to, like, not restart their life, but, like, trying to better themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, the American idea is that you can get your PhD at, like, 65, 70, and it's still okay. But for some reason, for an immigrant, or I'm speaking specifically for my parents, it's like, my life is basically over. Now I have to pass the torch on to you. And there are a whole bunch of burdens that go along with that, but also a lot of, like, great things. Because, yeah, you can talk negatively about it the whole entire time and be like, I feel this constant burden to make my parents proud of me. Or it's like, I have so much respect for my parents, and, you know, I know that I can work hard because they do believe in me. And that's why they keep telling me these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always grew up thinking, why can't my family just give me that positive reinforcement?
Yeah.
Like all the American kids always got. It was like, oh, yeah, you did such a great job. Like, you got straight A's. Like, here's a cookie. And I wanted that so bad.
Yeah.
And I never seemed to got it. And it was really frustrating for a really long time. And I was like, no, you don't get the cookie. And
yeah.
And maybe that's okay. Maybe that's a better thing than getting a cookie when you don't really deserve it yet.
Yeah.
Because what you deserve more than anything is like a good life. And and that's how you exemplify and show that what your parents did was worth it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When you were saying like about the cookie part, it was like I can't help but like think about when, like, every time I do painting and things like that, like my mom cannot stop bragging about how, like, yeah, my son's an artist, you know, like, but when I show them the painting and things like that, they just be like they don't say anything. They'd be like,
yeah,
like, as if like inside your head, like, okay, that's good. I show it to my brother, he'd be like, you can do better. I was like, God damn it. Like, is my art not good enough for you? But, like, I don't know. But, like, yeah, I can't stop. But, like, I can't help but think of that. You know, it's like, is my talent not enough for you? It's like, what's wrong with you, you know?
Yeah.
We're just like, what we're talking about, it depends on a person's situation, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that the root of it is just self-awareness. You got to be self-aware. Like, I'm thinking of these type of scenarios where a kid is doing what his parents say, but they don't know why. I think that's a bad way to look at it. I think you need to know why, or you need to be self-aware of why he wants you to do these things. And that's up to you to make your own decision. Like, your parents want you to be a lawyer because they feel like a lawyer would become will give you good job security, right? So you're self-aware because you're aware that your parents have gone through a lot of shit, and your parents are trying to make your life better. But you also need to be self-aware that is law really for you? Is this something that you truly want to enjoy? Because if you look at the root of it, your parents want you to live a good life. They want you to be happy, so they feel like law might be the thing that makes you happy. But if you're aware that their parents want you to be happy, and if law does not make you happy, then that might not be the right career for you.
Yeah.
So like we're saying, the things your parents are saying to you should not, don't think of it as like they're doing it out of malice. They're doing it because they don't like you. They're doing it because like they want you to suffer. They're doing it because they're trying to do it for a good reason.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's what a lot of, especially me and my perspective growing up, a lot of us don't understand that until we grow up at around this age or we mature pretty early, is like,
yeah,
oh, they're doing this because they want me to live a better life.
Yeah.
Because at that age, when I was 7, and sounds really funny, but like when I was when they're forcing me to memorize the multiplication table at like 2 grades early, I'm just like, why the fuck are you making yeah. me doing this stuff? And it's just like, and like I hate it, like they're doing it and they're yelling at me, I'm like, why? I'm just yeah. like, but I understand, like they just want me to be more prepared, because sometimes like kids like are at a disadvantage and they want to prepare themselves better for the future.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's just like when you're saying like, they're yelling at you, I sometimes yell to my sister about like the spelling words. So like it was like at one moment where like she was like, so like there's one spelling word and then there's 3 other words, right? Mm-hmm. You have to pick one of the 3 words that rhymes with the spelling words. So like she was like charge, flag. I was like, I'm sorry, does this rhyme to you? And I was just yelling at her. I was like, what's going on? Like, first of all, I told you to read one by one, but you just, like, I don't know, where you say flag. I, like, asked me to correct answer. You were so confident about it, too. Like, this is not it, you know?
Yeah.
But then, like, I was like, you know what? Go back to your room until you take this seriously. And then she was like.
Yeah. Like, I think what's so interesting is that, like, we talk about our parents now, but in probably, like, 10, 15 years when we are parents, we're probably going to end up like our parents. Like, it's always like that's kind of succession.
And like, and the thing about it is that like we already have the characteristics from my parents, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, if you guys already like identify
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, like same,
I mean,
for me
obviously
too.
Like
tiny bit. I can see it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I got like one part is like from my mom, which is, I used to tell my friends, you know, like, go home safe, you know, be safe and things like that. Yeah. You know what happened in the streets, and then I don't know.
Well,
what does happen in the streets, Raph? Just
I think that's what's really scary, is because like if you grow up and you're always rebelling against your parents, and then you're like, I'll never be like you guys. Like I'll be the really cool parent, and then you just end up not being yeah. the cool parent. Like you have this idea in your head of what kind of person you're going to be in like 10 to 20 years, and then you grow up and you're like, holy shit, a lot of the things that my parents said kind of resemble true. My beliefs now as
yeah.
a parent. I'm saying this as not
I mean
a parent,
that's kind of
the
theoretical though, because yeah. like the thing is that like a little bit related to that, you know, we talk about you know, parents, you know,
mm-hmm.
but what about the kids that just don't have a parent, you know, they have a guardian
mm-hmm.
or grows up in a foster, you know,
mm-hmm.
like in like, because like I think this is more of a just like, you know, like if you have a parent point of view, cause like
mm-hmm.
this, like now that I think about it, like some listeners or viewers probably, you know, had to like, you know, grow up without the guidance of the parents, you know,
yeah.
without like. Even like, by the way, like if you're successful, you grow up without like, without guidance. Like,
mm-hmm.
damn, like if there's a God, may God bless you on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
God bless you.
God yeah. bless you. You know, I just find it crazy that some people can be successful without the guidance. You know, the guidance
yeah.
of the parents, because that's the whole point of having a family, is to
yeah.
guide you to the life, through emotions, through everything, you know?
Well, that relates to what Eric said at the beginning, where he said that family, it doesn't have this one definition where it's just blood. I think that there are so many people.
So many perspectives
yeah.
on family and,
yeah.
and friends, too. Because, like, without guidance, it's just, like, you know, the only people that can relate to or like can talk to you, like their friends they have, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I can't speak from the perspective of not having a family.
Right. Yeah. I can't speak for it either.
Yeah. But I know some people that have like divorced parents, or, you know, growing up without a father or growing up without a mother, and it's extremely devastating.
Yeah.
To the person's character, because, you know, growing up with a mom and a dad, it is very important. I'm not saying that it's extremely important, but I could see it going like two very drastic routes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have one friend who has divorced parents, and and it's that one scenario where like one of the parents is very absent and there's only like a single parent, you know?
Yeah, like imagine like just thinking that, just like, especially like the hardest part is like, imagine like growing up with your parents not even wanting you, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like sometimes they like some child may have to go through like some parents like saying to their face, saying like, I never even wanted you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could have an abortion and shit like that. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think
like,
that's a but like, yeah, trigger warning.
Yeah, right, yeah, sorry. But like, it's just something that like, wow, it's just like.
I think I that know. Like, well, we're taking.
Very devastating.
Well,
yeah.
we're turning into a very like deep road, dark
yeah,
road.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like, that steps into like very abusive families. And like, I think that I can't really speak about that either.
Yeah, I can't.
Because it's like, it's hard. It's really hard. And like, especially for us, we don't want to talk about something that we have never experienced, because obviously, like, we can only speak about ourselves.
Yeah.
And when we're speaking for other people, obviously we're putting words into your mouths or like other people's mouths, and that's not what we're
trying
to do.
Yeah, that's my fault.
No, I'm not saying that it's your fault. I'm just saying that like, it's important that we address it, because you can't pretend that it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think that we can really say much other than it's just devastating. It really is. Because I do have a couple of friends that have gone through that, and their character and their lives were completely changed because of it. And it's hard, especially when people talk about how divorce is like, oh yeah, so common. And it's like, oh yeah, it's this trivial thing that like divorce has become so common and families are broken up and that's a normal thing. And that's really sad, because you think about all the people that it possibly could have affected, and like all the paths that have been redirected because of that. And it's just really frustrating.
And every time I think of those devastating things, I also like look back to myself, and I'd be like I'm so blessed to even have a family. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I always imagine like what happened like if we went to the park, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there's like someone sitting like from their perspective, just like me, my mom, my dad, my little sister, and a dog, you know. Like, mm-hmm. it's just literally one family, you know. Mm-hmm. Like one, like, typical family that some people may want that don't have, you know?
Yeah.
And I reflect on myself on that and just be like, I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm blessed to even have a family, to like, to have someone to guide me to like through everything, you know?
Yeah. And I don't, at some point I feel like, you know, my parents always tell me this, my mother especially, she's like, you should be happy that I am here to tell you all these things. Like, one day I'm not going to be around.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, one day I'm not going to be around, and you're going to really understand. And I'd always be like, oh, mom, please stop. But at the same time, like, thinking about it seriously, it's like, shit, you're kind of right. Like, what if you aren't around, and I have to kind of face this all on my own?
Who's going to clean my dishes?
Yeah, that sounds so terrible.
Yeah. No, but like, that's how my mom be like. He's like, no one's going to clean the dishes for you anymore. I was like, mom, I clean my own dishes. What are you talking about? But like,
it's been like 3 months since
I cleaned my dishes. We're just going to eat off of paper plates for like the rest of our lives.
Dead ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, Eric, what's your take?
When I was listening to you guys, I was also thinking, like, it's also not only the kids' self-awareness in trying to understand the parent, but it's also responsible for the parent trying to understand the kid, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's one-sided. I feel like we're trying to talk that we're talking like it's one-sided, but I think it's also the parent's side to try to understand the kids, right? So, like, if the parent, like, we could bring out that scenario again. If the parent wants the kid to be a lawyer because, like, the parent wants the kid to have a good life, the parent also needs to understand that the kid does not want to be a lawyer. Right. So it's also like this mutual understanding is like, oh, okay, like we we agree with these some of these things and we disagree with some of these things, but we have to respect each other's opinion. But like we mentioned, it's personal for everyone's circumstances. It depends. Like, obviously, my lawyer example is not applicable to everyone's life situations. Like Victoria mentioned, someone that might have a parent who's not in a line with in present in someone's life as much as we as much as they want to. So that's something that we can't really speak on because we don't really have the experience. But like we mentioned, there's a lot of factors playing involved, but the one key word I always think of is the self-awareness and trying to self-understand yourself and understand like why you're feeling this way or why others are trying to make you do this and understand them. So it's a really self-introspective feel introspective process when you think about family or who are the people that you care about. Who are the ones that are taking care of you and you would do, will you give the same back?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I really don't know how to add
on to
that.
Yeah,
I don't know how to
Because we've touched on so many things and it's, I mean, family is such a big idea, you know, and it's like, it's a little.
Is there
little
a fly?
Gnat or something.
It's the moth.
It's a moth.
Is it a moth?
Don't kill it.
I'm not killing it. I'm trying to like.
Just don't even touch it.
Don't even touch it.
Why would you want to pick up a moth anyway? It's not a butterfly.
I still want to pick it up, Eric. Damn it.
But anyway, like I was saying, you know, family is such is so much to unpack, just in one episode. But I think that more importantly, this is about how to understand your parents and how to take that first step. Obviously, we're not gonna. We're not gonna lead you into every single thing that you need to in order to.
Again, it all depends on the situation you have. You know?
I mean, building a better relationship with your family is hard. It takes a lot of effort and understanding to see from another person's point of view.
Yeah.
But like, after you do, it just becomes so much better. You feel like a weight is being lifted off of your shoulders because the decisions that you make according to your family or like what your parents want for you, it just becomes it becomes more clear. So yeah.
Well, I mean, do we have anything else to say?
I don't think so. This is like a Victoria mentioned, it's a very big thing to unpack.
Yeah.
But I hope this podcast really made you guys think about what family means to you. Or any circumstances or experiences you guys related to us. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode. You guys want to pull out the information?
Let me pull out the Instagram. The it is called The Official Meal Deals on Instagram. Also called The Official Meal Deals on Twitter. Email us at officialmealdeals@gmail.com. And we're on Apple Podcasts and
we're
Spotify.
On YouTube.
And also
on
YouTube. I'm looking straight at the camera and I just forgot about YouTube, I guess.
And if you reached the end of this episode, please tell us how you thought about this episode or any ideas you guys would like to listen to, any subjects you guys would like to listen to for the next episodes. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.